Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. It's Friday. It's Friday morning. It's just not long to go before the weekend, and you can enjoy yourself. But first, we've got Peter Watson with Watson's Wi-Fi. How are you today, Peter?
Very well, thank you very much, yes.
Are you full of fun and merriment today?
Full of fun and merriment, absolutely. All as always.
Right. The unfortunate death of Kim Jong-nam upset you at all?
Well, sadly, you can see that I have actually forgotten my armband today. I mean, I left it on the train, sadly.
Oh, he's the playboy.
Yes, yes. Fine figure of a man. I model myself on his sort of stature, actually. So.
If he can be a playboy, I'm Hugh Hefner, I think, on that scale.
Yes, yeah. You might need to get a new pair of pyjamas, perhaps.
Exactly, yes. I have already ordered them.
Right, OK. Not that I've seen your current ones, you know. Anyway, yeah, so this week, loads and loads of stuff going on, obviously. On the macro front, we've got Eurozone growth has been pretty impressive. We've had various data points out, so IHS Market, PMI was out the other day. Germany is basically the main growth driver, funnily enough.
It's called Beggar Thy Neighbour, I think.
Well, yes, exactly.
A European neighbour.
Yes, exactly. Germany is also the fastest growing G7 nation as well. It overtook us, apparently, and that's all on the back of domestic demand and increased government spending, etc. So that's all very exciting. Then we had also the Greek compromise coming in this week, so lots of drama leading up to current meetings and things. It's the IMF pitted against the Europeans, and it looks like
6 billion euros they need.
Yeah,
which is less than RBS. I mean, just pay, write the check.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, that's right. So maybe just look down a few euro sofas and come up with the goods. Then other than that, I think more interesting than that actually is there have been some interesting euro wobbles this week in terms of the countries rather than the currencies. So in France, you've got Macron, who has been slipping a bit in the opinion polls. Now, apparently, most recent one I saw puts him on 18.5% of the vote on April 23rd. Fillon, the man who likes shooting himself in the foot, 21%. And of course, Le Pen, who is on 28%. So all sorts of shenanigans going on.
How come the markets think that Le Pen's not going to win?
Well, that's right. But then again, I mean, there's been a lot of concern. The bond market obviously has seen a hell of a lot of action on the back of that, on fears that she might win. So I don't know. I just think that there's going to be a lot of trading opportunities between now and then, really.
I'm sure she's going to win.
Have you put any money on it?
I will. Actually, no, so I will now. Okay. I'm sure absolutely sure she's going to win.
And talking of slight controversies there, you've got the Dutch elections, and Wilders, very interesting again, he's actually stopped going out publicly now, and the reason being that one of his security staff leaked information to a Dutch-Moroccan criminal gang. So now the thing is,
they don't like him, and he doesn't like them.
Correct.
He's cancelled his holiday in Marrakesh.
Apparently, he's not going to be that welcome there. But the thing is, though, this is quite serious in the fact that there is form in this, because a previous very right-wing candidate who I believe won, Pim Fortuyn, back in 2002,
he was shot.
So obviously Wilders is going to have to take this seriously, but he is really ahead in the polls. I mean, he's
got great hair as well.
He has got
which
hair.
The other guy didn't have.
That's correct.
Which is where why he got shot.
Yes, it's all that sort of white.
Yes, it's very, very impressive.
He kind of looks a bit, you know, what was it, like one of those puppets? Thunderbirds, yeah. Anyway, then apart from that, Spain as well. There was an interesting article today on Spain about Article 155, rather, where it looks like the Catalonia is really, really going for independence, and Madrid is doesn't want to have anything of it. If they invoke Article 155, which has never been invoked before, they basically can go in and they can take over the whole government. They can send the police in.
They should go. I mean, they're just like, they've been moaning for years. Yeah. They can go. They've got the light Scotland. They've got no money. Yeah. But they keep doing this as a thing to sort of like yeah. drum up, you know, yeah. To get money out of the bigger government and yeah. let them go.
Yeah,
they'll be begging to come back after a couple of years.
Well, we'll see, won't we? I mean, I think the real problem though is if you put that in the context of the whole of Europe and all the instability that might occur over this year, starting from this year, I think that it's going to be, certainly for Spain as a whole, I think that the recovery could well be, which is very fragile, could be at risk.
Well, yes, because Catalonia is the only bit of Spain that actually makes stuff and does things, So it's a little bit, it'll be a bit of the siesta thing will be severely hampered there.
Well, yeah, quite possibly. So apart from that, then, on the sector basis, there was some evidence this week of a China real estate slowdown, which is very serious, of course.
Not from the Chinese government.
Well, the official figures.
Who leaked that one?
The official figures actually showed the sharpest slowdown in house growth for a year. Something new house prices for a year. Another interesting thing there is there used to be a private sector data stream that used by Fang.com. Sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah. And I believe it's got teeth. This thing, That data stream is actually showed more of a sharper growth last year than the official figures. So, but then it stopped in November. So the implication is that actually the contraction this year is actually a lot sharper than the official figures would suggest. So there you go.
Job for North Korea, I think, or
yeah.
maybe I can.
There you go. And then company specific, there was loads of. Obviously, Unilever was the big story beginning of this week, saying no to Kraft. Then there's lots of obviously speculation after that as to who Kraft might go after next. So that's quite interesting. Hanjin Shipping, again, that used to be the world's seventh biggest shipping company, but that officially went bust actually at the end of last week. But then the news was sort of filtering out more beginning of this week. Samsung using Sony batteries. Using Sony batteries in their next phone for some reason.
Is this official or is there like
official? No, official.
Actually, yeah. Buying them and
yeah, official. And then Tesla, really, this week. So we're talking about upping production, but there's some difficult problems for them potentially because one is that the Hong Kong government have just decided that they're going to stop. Providing incentives for people to buy tax incentives to buy Tesla cars, which is obviously going to hit their sales. Apparently, last year 90% of electric car sales in Hong Kong were of Teslas, so that's clearly going to scupper them a bit. The other thing as well, there was a leading story today in the FT about cobalt, which is going to affect electric cars because basically cobalt is a key ingredient for lithium-ion batteries. And some very enterprising hedge funds have basically tried to corner the market. And they now have apparently the equivalent of 17% of last year's annual production in storage. So they had to buy the physical stuff because apparently there's not much that you can buy in terms of a company that has a pure exposure to it. So it's a bit of a nightmare, and obviously
it's a bit nasty as well.
It is, on the one hand, but you could also see it as being quite enterprising.
Yes, but you can see why people don't necessarily like hedge fund people very much.
Quite possibly, and there's obviously Billions has started as well, hasn't it? The next series this week, so obviously that
all goes together.
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's all coming together. So there you go. There's actually one of the hedge funds in there is got quite a good name, Shanghai Chaos, which I thought was quite good. But
it's an evil organisation.
Yes. That's right. No doubt someone in a mountain.
With a white cat and a funny finger.
Yeah. So yes, exactly. One of them. So there you go. So that's kind of the some of the things that I've been noticing this week. So.
Well, I'm very pleased that you've noticed. You've noticed quite a lot this week.
I have indeed. I've kept my eyes wide open.
So Peter, you normally leave us with a parting gift, a parting gesture,
yes.
Which is normally of a somewhat humorous. Contains a humorous angle, given your history of comedy.
Oh yes, right, yes, my huge history of comedy. Well, the thing is, I thought that it, we've gone a few weeks past Valentine's Day, but I just want.
I'm still trying to like get over that.
Right, indeed, and probably open all those Valentine's cards, of course.
I've got a team working on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the thing is that I wanted to pose the question: is romance getting more practical these days? Now the reason why I thought about that is because the CEO of Tinder was talking this week at a tech conference in California, and basically saying that future versions of Tinder will become like Pokemon Go. So you can actually walk down the street and you can point your phone at whoever takes your fancy and see whether they're single or not. So clearly this...
I think you can normally tell quite easily even without all that technology.
Well, there is that possibility, but clearly you could get, you know, actual or artificial recognition, I guess, via your phone.
Where would they point the thing at?
I don't know. I think it's in the general direction of that person as opposed to a specific area. But then again, after that, you know, once you've found your potential love interest and obviously long-term partner, because that's what Tinder's for.
Yes.
When you found that special someone, you can surprise them with something very romantic. I think you're going to see an example of something. This is an interesting and possibly practical alternative to flowers. I believe this is a Chinese guy who decided to express his romantic feelings by providing his loved one with a bouquet of cash. So each of these has actually been put together by a florist and then put together into a lovely bouquet. So, you know, I mean, they don't need water. They're not going to die. And clearly there is a practical use. So,
given the type of people I give them flowers to, I think they wouldn't last very long, actually, that
bouquet. Oh, right. Fair enough.
Probably about 10 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
I thought you were going to say is because in the news over the week, there was this thing where people, you know, they go on a first date, but if it doesn't go well, they ask the person that they were with for the money back.
Yes, I have seen that.
Refund. I've always done that anyway.
Yes, right.
So for me, it was old news, but yes. I just thought that people are finally catching up with the way of doing things.
I mean, you were clearly a trailblazer in that area.
Well, I'm from Glasgow, so they're pretty tight with money, you know.
Yes.
So that's what it comes from. But Glasgow leads the world in many areas.
Brilliant.
But on that note, Peter Watson from Watson's Wi-Fi, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your ideas and your views on life.
No problem. Thank you.